fellowship and proceed forward. We're in Romans 1. We didn't hardly even get off the ground here today, did we? But we're illustrating how the human race got where it got in the ancient times, and it isn't any better today. And with all the, even with the coming of the canon of Scripture, the proclamation of the gospel to the nations, history of evangelism and Bible teaching that has gone on, the tide against the truth is very real and intense. But the truth will win out because God backs it up. And he is, in the tribulation, going to teach the nations righteousness. Well, that's going to be a hard knock school for a lot of people. They won't even survive first semester. Yes, this is what we're talking about. This is the God of the Bible. Take it or leave it. And we who present these truths, like Jesus himself and the prophets before him and the apostles after him, we suffer persecution. We're in the minority. We're just putting the truth out because that's our mandate. All the truth. And when we hold back, then we deny God and we deny the truth. The truth's what's important. The truth will get you where you need to go, ultimately. Yes, sometimes it's a hard pill to swallow because it slaps you upside the head. It's painful. But if you're positive, you will cough stuff up. You'll turn away from it. You'll recognize it for what it is. Teach as I may, over and over about things. People remind me from time to time some of the unsavory activities that members of my church are involved in. Well, they're culpable. They heard the truth. If they don't have the ability to have discernment, I can sympathize with someone with an STA weakness because the flesh is weak and we give in to it. But certain things are reprehensible in our world. And at the very least, you ought to be able to come here and develop your spiritual discernment. Discernment where you can evaluate what is evil and what is good. Is that too much to ask? Lying is bad, right? It's done everywhere. About a lot of subjects. Think of all the liars that have promoted all these isms. They're all liars. They're professional liars. They get paid good salaries for lying. And there's just the average common lies that people do. And all the associated stuff. What we have in Romans 1 is repeated today it's the same picture with a different frame. We're in the last days. We're in the last of the last days. Well, we've actually been in the last days since the onset of the church age, which has run from 33 AD to 2019. But the church age will end. And it'll end with a mass evacuation of believers from the face of this earth and the emptying of a lot of graves and a lot of cemeteries. When Christ raises his people from the dead, and we meet him in the air. And we go to the third heaven with him. And we watch the events associated, signaling events on earth for a 7-year period. A mere 7 years. And then we come back with him. And watch him defeat the armies that have been gathered to wipe out Israel in the Armageddon war. And Jesus Christ will personally take these. Yes, the humble Jesus of the first advent. Who, was humble and meek but was strong in the truth and was hated and healed people and did good things for all these people. And they turned on him. He'll come back and he'll crush those armies. He'll turn them to mush. It'll be very gory. But they earned it. They had 7 years to do the right thing. To get on the right side, a soldier in one of those armies had the time to not go. Well, they'll kill you. Fine. Die a martyr's death. I'm not going to participate in the Armageddon campaign. All this is laid out in the Bible. Since Israel became a nation in 1948, May 14th, this signaled the final generation. Israel was evicted from their land for cause by God using the Romans. This is all established. This is true history. 70 AD, boom, they're out. The Romans came in there, brutalized them, and drug them into captivity. It's on the emperor, the conqueror's arch, showing the Jews bound and under this, and the sacking and the destruction of the Holy Temple, the one authorized and built by the Jews under God. One of the things we're looking forward to is the temple that needs to be built in Israel for the trib, to serve the trib. The whole period of the tribulation. First half of it will be occupied by righteous Jews doing the ancient sacrifices in a modern world. And then the second half will be occupied with the AI, artificial intelligence, image of the beast. It will speak and talk and be highly computerized and know all this stuff. It'll look so lifelike, like these, you know, things they're making human-like. It'll be so lifelike. It's in your Bible. How long do we have? About 3 years. Enjoy yourselves. 3 years. How old will you be? When the resurrection occurs, we'll all be 35. Just like, have a body just like Jesus Christ. That's what all the dummies think they're celebrating come Easter. Easter comes around, they go, oh, yeah. How about that? You know how dumbed down everybody is today? What does the word Easter mean? No, what does it mean? I asked a girl who said Happy Easter to me some years back. Happy Easter. I says, what's Easter mean? She says, it means Passover. I says, it does not. Get your Webster dictionary down and look it up. Don't take my word for it. It's the Babylonian goddess of love, Ishtar. Doesn't Ishtar and Easter kind of sound alike? They're a perfect match. So we get a bunch of little kids together, get out here with a bunch of eggs. We go hunting for eggs in churches and have Easter bunnies. That's the fertility cult. It's the fertility cult, dummies. And you're mixing this with Christianity, the resurrection of Christ. But hey, fun trumps everything, right? No, it doesn't. But that's the mentality. The mentality today is, this has all been so watered down that we don't know left from right, up from down. And if we tell the truth, we're the haters. Yes, we hate evil. You say, well, that means I'd have to hate myself. To a certain extent. That side of you that's genetically hardwired with a sin nature that you got because of the stunt that Adam and Eve pulled in the garden, and it was passed down to us because they ate that fruit and it changed their DNA. They got an aging gene and they got the sinful trend gene and all the other negatives that go with it. A lot of things related to the curse of the fall, but that's prominent for us in our studies. Why do you do the bad things you do? Because you have a sin nature that seeks to... It's not your fault. It seeks to impose its agenda on the real you, the soul, so you act in accordance with it. You get Bible doctrine so you can make a choice and act in accordance with it. It is a daily choice, a moment-by-moment choice, all the time, every way. You make the choice. You are a sovereign free agent, and you can choose to accept, reject, do what you're going to do. There's nothing any of us can do to we can encourage you. We can tell you you're hung up on something. We'll try to get you an answer out of the Bible. But if you don't want to go to the Bible, you know, when I'm talking to people, they don't want to believe the Bible. I don't have anything to say to you. Nothing. Go your way. Bye-bye. I'm going to sit here and argue with you. Here's the truth. Take it or leave it. This is always the way the truth has been presented. Hear, listen. A lot of people think, okay, if I line up with this, then what's this going to mean in my life? You shouldn't think like that. You'll get a whole new set of friends. And your family probably isn't going to like you either. It's not going to be the same. I'm just telling you up front. You line up with those who walk in the faith. The royal family who's positive at any given time. Those are the ones you gravitate towards. You don't treat other people bad. I'm not advocating treating anybody bad. We just proclaim the truth. The truth will set you free. That's in universities on the philosophy department. No, that won't set you free. That'll enslave you. And as someone was telling me at break, we can't call them boys and girls, baby boys and baby girls in the nursery. We got to call them thabies. Thabies. Pink. You know the pop star? Shudder, shudder. I'm going to let my children make their choices of what they are. These people have lost their minds to the God of this world. He is the God of confusion, trying to flip everything He set in place. If you're the devil, that's what your deal is. Turn everything upside down. And if God said, have nations, we don't want nations. Nations are our problem. If we could get rid of nations, we wouldn't have war and we wouldn't have all this stuff. No, we'd have absolute tyranny. And I wouldn't be able to have the freedom given me by God and even by the Constitution of the United States of America, under which law I live, the law of the land that says I have a right as long as I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not involved in criminal activity. That I can have a church and teach what I please. And I grant that freedom to anyone else out there. We never advocate misbehavior towards the unbeliever or anybody out there. We advocate separating from people who are corrupt. But you ought to teach a child that. Don't hang out with those kids. Look at their lifestyle. Look at their parents. Look at the drugs, all the mess that they're into. Exercise discernment in life, or you'll be taken in. Doctrine will give you the discernment to be able to note the difference between good and evil. A lot of evil is apparent and immediately, even though now, like I said, what was corrupt before, abnormal, has now been declared normal. And you can't criticize it. If you want to be the CEO of a big company, you can't have your personal beliefs about this and that if you want that job. You tweet anything about, this whole scene. One celebrity got in trouble because she's not a paragon of virtue and something you want your girls to look up to. Paris Hilton. She said male homosexuals are disgusting. That killed a program for her. She wasn't saying it's wrong to be a gay person. She wasn't saying that. She just said that they are disgusting. Apparently she had first-hand exposure to these people. That's all she said. And she got in trouble. She went against the grain of the cosmos, not on a moral issue, but on a sanitary level. They're disgusting. See, freedom of speech is killed in this country. It's all the beehive. Let's go to school and we all think alike. We all got to think alike. No, what got us here as a country was individualism. But now we want to suppress that and put everybody into this little think tank. And that's what education is designed to do. Daniel, the prophet, survived the Babylonian school system, higher education one. He survived it. He learned all the way. Moses, before he made his big decision, he was trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He could tell you stuff right offhand. He could tell you the whole idolatry system, everything what you do, blah, 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 blah. But he threw all that away to lead Israel up out of Egypt. And he was the most popular man in Egypt. He was renowned. He was multi-talented. Led armies. Gave great speeches. Was a musician. Was a prince. And he refused to continue to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And one day, he made that snap decision. He checked it all out. The plan of God and the real thing is with those people that the Egyptians had enslaved. And I'm going to go with them. That's the kind of decisions that people won't even on a limited basis make. I need to get to. Well, let's just say here, because there's other places where the truth is taught. I just say I got to get to a local. I got to get from where I'm living and everything, and I got to get in a local church. Well, I got a nice job here and a nice home, and I got it all set up. Boom! Moses turned that all down. He was looking to the reward. He suffered the reproach of Christ when he turned. He didn't exactly hand in his resignation. But when he turned, the leadership of Egypt put a death warrant out on him. We want him dead or alive. And he walked out of Egypt looking every bit the Egyptian. Crossed the so-called Sinai Peninsula. Went into Saudi Arabia. And spent the next 40 years herding sheep. Talk about a career change. Man, that is a career change. I don't know more a dramatic one that you could even name. And in one day, he's doing his... It's like, be like you. One day, he's just doing what he does every day. Out there in the lonely desert, in this backwater, herding these sheep, and he sees a bush on fire. Now, their bushes were all over out there, these shrubs in the desert, but this one's on fire. That isn't so weird that it's on fire. Maybe a spark, maybe something from the sun hit something just right and it ignited it, and boom, it went up. But it wasn't burning up. The fuel wasn't running out. He's a curious fellow. He's not a weird mystic. He walks over there, and a voice says to him, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. You know what I like about Moses? He didn't say, well, what makes this holy? Like a lot of jerks would do today. This was the first time. He was 80 years old. This was the first time God ever spoke to him. Up till then, all he knew about God and his plan was what he learned from those people up there when he checked it out and checked out the history and the history of Joseph and all the way they came to Egypt and all the prophecy and all the business, and he knew that God was going to take him out of Egypt, and he believed that. Against all odds, there wasn't anything that looked good in that department. They are enslaved. They work for the Egyptians. They toil on all their building projects. The women are maids in the rich Egyptian homes. Nothing looked like they're beating them. They're working them long hours. It's slave labor. They're drowning their babies in the Nile because they're having a population explosion. In spite of all the work and effort they had, God blessed their reproductive function. And that just... They're going to outnumber us, and they're going to join up with the enemies, and they're going to attack Egypt. And they never done anything. This was the political propaganda, just like we get all the time today. We need to attack this nation. We need to go after Venezuela. It's none of our damn business. Let Venezuela run Venezuela. And whoever else. They're not attacking us. So it's all this warmongering. Moses walked out of Egypt. Well, he murdered a man before he did. He killed a taskmaster. That was a typical event, beating a Jew. He didn't do it because he was incensed, because it was the first time he ever saw an Egyptian beating a Jew. He just came by that day in his chariot, and he had a plan. And the plan was he was going to win the favor of the Jews by going up to this smiling taskmaster who recognized him for who he was and came walking up to him completely oblivious to this is going to be the last moment this dummy is going to be on the face of the earth alive. And he walks up to Moses and he snaps his neck. He's dead. Moses buries him in the sand. Jews see it. They didn't say, we've got a champion. Let's just keep our mouths shut. No. They let the cat out of the bag. Moses found out about it. And he fled Egypt. And the Bible says, not fearing the wrath of the king. He didn't go out of there because he was under fear. Then if it wasn't fear, why did he leave? Because he wanted to live to see the day when God brought them out of Egypt. He had no expectations that he would be the great leader of Israel in the beginning and the formation of their nation. He had no expectations of that. The true servant of God isn't out here trying to make something happen. He waits for it to come to him. I didn't crank up a church. I trusted in God. I didn't know where I was going to land. Back in 1973, I had no idea. I was willing to sit in Houston as long as it took. And then I got a phone call. I didn't even put my name in the hat. I could have at least done that. Walked in and said, Pastor, I'm interested in church if you think I'm good enough to go. You're my spiritual authority. I didn't even do that. My name was given by that great big church to a little group of people up here in Oklahoma City. And they called me up here and I flew up here with 6-8 weekends in a row. Frontier Airlines. Round trip. Boom, boom. And here we are. We're still teaching the truth. I didn't do anything. You don't have to do anything. You just serve God in your niche, however humble it is, whatever it is. Moses was a very humble situation. But 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the desert, and 40 years with Israel. He lived to be 120. And he died in perfect health with perfect eyesight. He didn't die because he was old and decrepit. And the outer man gave up. He died because his ministry was over. And the Lord pulled his soul out of him and hid his body. To this day, they don't know where he was buried. Actually, the burial was Michael the archangel. How about class? And this is for a guy who gives up the treasures of Egypt because he sees a better reward. Now look at the fame he has now and the fame he will have. He's coming back to this earth, by the way, and serve God along with Elijah for the first half of the tribulation. And they're going to torment the human race again. Negative volition, that is. Positive volition will love them. I want to see that of some deal up in heaven where they can do the big screen. I got to see that. Moses and Elijah are going to show up in the Middle East. They're two men from the past. They'll be resurrected. Their minds will completely be downloaded with everything they need to know to live in a modern world. But they'll live like John the Baptist out in that desert. And the whole world will recognize that they are something special. And most of people will hate them because they will make a pronouncement and it will come to true. It'll be environmental judgments as a part of the wrath of God. God uses judgments in the environment to judge people. Earthquakes, blah, 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 hurricanes, on, 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 on. The wrath of God is continually being revealed from heaven against the unrighteousness of people. Look at these people, they're suffering, blah, blah, blah. Now, some people are suffering at the hands of other people. Some people are suffering because of their own stupidity and bad decisions. We've all suffered because of bad decisions. But the degree to which it is. And, of course, God eventually brings down wrath on individuals, on whole societies. America will be gone in 1 hour one day. Boom. Get your doctrine of the United States and prophecy and go over it. Well, I don't agree with that. Okay, fine. Then what is it? What's it about? I went through the process of elimination. It's not the world, because the world will not be eliminated of all people. When Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom, there'll be a handful of people that will have survived that 7 years. And they will pioneer the millennial civilization. And cities and everything will be wrecked. And Christ will clean up the environment, and we get to start over with the sweat of our brow. Humanity. But Moses and Elijah will be here. And whenever they bring a judgment down, they will announce it. It will be on the evening news. They will send people out there to kill them, but that won't do any good. They will be killed. They'll be like in this protective bubble without any guards and a bunch of stuff around them. You can't touch them for the 3.5 years, the first half. And like when Moses and Aaron walked in to Pharaoh's court for the first time, and all the subsequent times after that, that produced the 10 plagues, they announced ahead of time, you let Israel go, or else. And Pharaoh hardened his heart every time. I'll let him go. Call that off. Clean up the Nile. Clean up the Nile. All these stinking fish dying. And the whole Nile from the border of Egypt to the border of Goshen, which is part of Egypt, but it didn't affect. The whole thing was blood. Blood red. Fish don't like that. And the Nile was the lifeline of Egypt. Without the Nile, there would have been no Egyptian empire there. It's what made Egypt a geographical feature. Just like in America, one of the things that make America is its river systems. You may never have thought about it, but America is uniquely blessed with these river systems. The Mississippi stands out. It's a prominent one for transport of goods and things and all the stuff that went on. It made a huge difference in the commerce and the building of this civilization. Our geography. So Moses and Elijah will announce, we're going to do this to the so-and-so river. We're going to bring this down on so-and-so environment. It will happen like clockwork, and it will so anger the people on the earth. And they will also preach the gospel. You need to turn to Christ, or else. The kingdom of Christ is coming, and it isn't being invited in here. And he isn't appearing before the UN. The UN will be gone with the rest of this country in 1 hour of one day. 1 hour of one day. The kind of weapons that Russia has developed since the fall of the Soviet Union can take out whole states like Texas. Boom! But those are under the control of Jesus Christ, not the rulers in the Kremlin. And this country will experience the ultimate Pearl Harbor. But everybody in America would be given a chance to get out of here. I read a little article. I saw it in the deal. I wished I'd have pursued it up, see if it made sense. You got to take things carefully. It says, Americans are leaving America in droves. Oh, process has already started. But after we're out of here, that'll be a bunch of us gone. Subtract all actual believers from America and subtract them from the population. Leaving their homes and their possessions and their pets, and everything else behind. Maybe you can make special arrangements for your pet in case the rapture occurs. It's not funny yet? Okay. Well, and you won't mind then. See? Then, an angel will make there'll be a pronouncement out of heaven. Telling all existing Americans, Jews, Gentiles, to get out of here and go back to the country of your national origins if you can figure that out. And they'll have a window of opportunity. And it won't be convenient. Would it be convenient to you tomorrow to have to pack up everything and find some country like wherever? England's terrible. Oh, it's awful. England is really a wreck. I don't know where I'd go. I think I'll go to Italy. Watch the Roman church burn to the ground. Because the Antichrist is going to destroy the Roman Catholic system in Europe. Yeah. That's Babylon 2. We're Babylon. That's Babylon 1. We're Babylon 2. But they will bring these judgments down. And then at the middle, and the Antichrist will send armies after them. The earth will, God will just wipe them out. It'll be very discouraging for any group of commando to say, would you guys like to go try this today? But at the very end, they'll allow the two men to be captured. They will be beheaded. They will put a big scene up. They will have their bodies laying on the streets of Jerusalem. And everyone on the earth will be that's left will be exchanging gifts and celebrating. And just like with the death of Jesus, three days later, these two fellows will stand on their feet with their heads reattached. And a voice out of heaven will say, come up here. Another slap in the face of the cosmos. The world's going to get what it's deserved. It's earned it. We're earning it every day. This is coming. I can't get excited about a lot of stuff like I used to. I just cannot. Try as I may, I'll keep some of my little things that I can get excited about, but that's about it. It's going by the wayside. Doctrine changes you that way. Because I'm after my crown. I'm after the ultimate prize that ever has been bestowed on a human being. And I know that's what you're after too. And it's available to every Christian if they'll just do the basic stuff. Get in the church. Get the truth. Get it in their soul. Start living the Christian life. And quit treating it like, oh, well, I take it or leave it. No, you can leave it. And you're going to go to heaven. Well, I'll see you there. We'll be together forever. And when I say heaven, I don't mean all the cheesy stuff you hear about all these dummies out there. If I'm alive at the rapture, or you, you're only going to spend 7 years in the third heaven. The next 1,000 years plus, you're going to spend on the earth. And then we're going to get rid of earth one, and we're going to put earth two in its place. And establish in it this city that's measurable. Imagine a city that's a cube. I'll say 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. High, wide. And it'll be the crown jewel sitting on this earth. And the royal family will occupy that city. You'll have a suite in it. Well, what are we going to do? That's for you to find out. That's for you to find out. That's where faith comes in. We're not given all the nitty-gritty details. Because we're not. We just have a taste of the power of the things to come. See, that's my hope. That's what I live for. That's what I strive for. And other things must be secondary. Even legitimate stuff. Not to mention illegitimate stuff. So this is my call to everybody to reassess themselves. Okay, we've had a tough year. We've lost friends. We've lost people in reversionism, acting up like crazies. We have to live with it. If you think of your own situation and what you might have suffered, loss of a friend, loss of a whatever, find an example in the Bible that parallels it. And somebody on the right side did the right thing and the other person did the wrong thing. Find an example. And live with it. You can get bitter. You can get upset. You can get compromised with it. Why'd God let this happen to me? Why does he let anything happen to any of us? Why doesn't he just make it a rosy gold deal 24/7 for every one of us? No health tests, no financial tests, no people tests. That's unrealistic. That's how we win the big rewards where we apply in this conflict in the face of difficulty and suffering. What could happen down the road? Were people thinking this through? You didn't know what could happen. You know this doctrine would come along and people just go nuts over it? Well, they did. And they're wrong. And there'll be more coming on this. So if you can't figure this out, I can't help you. I want to try to help you, though. I mean, I will. So, the laundry list, without understanding, untrustworthy, verse 31. You see a lot of this in people today. I think, actually, in Oklahoma, and I may be prejudiced. I mean, I'm not trying to be because I'm not a native Oklahoman. I feel like one, but I'm not. I'm from South Dakota. Rah, rah, rah. Hand over the heart. Yeah, it's the first state in the United States that allows the average citizen to carry a concealed weapon without a permit. Yay, South Dakota. That's biblical, by the way. Jesus said, if you got two cloaks to his disciples, sell one of them, get you a good knife. What, for picking your teeth? Cutting apples? That too. See? If we had the day of the kind of bullets we have today, he'd say, get you a good sidearm. Oh, and take some lessons, by the way. Because you have a right to defend yourself if someone attacks you. And a woman can't overpower a great big strong man. Now, can she? You say, well, I saw it on a superhero movie. More Fantasy Island stuff. We used to have the male superheroes. Now we got the women ones. Punching these big old men, throwing them around like they were, you know, a piece of wood. I don't think so. I have yet to see a female, an actual female. Actual female, not a thing, I have not yet to see an actual female linebacker playing for any professional team. All little high school stuff, but I haven't seen them out there, have you? They don't have enough steroids for them. Their bodies are built different. They're different. We're glad they're different. So, toxic masculinity. Some liberal junk. Toxic masculinity. What's that mean? He's a man. He acts like one. Yeah, there's guys that can be jerks, you know, and act real macho and stupid acting. But just being a male. And you don't have to have a physique like whoever. It's up here. It's not somewhere else on the anatomy. And femininity. God created us the way he created us. This is all under attack. Pathetic. Unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. There's an innate understanding in humanity that this is just wrong. But they do not follow up on it. Who practice such things. Practice is the key word. Not an isolated sin here, by the way. You can find something in the list where you're guilty that you did this. Proso is a practicing type person who's involved in this up to their ears. They practice such things. Are worthy of death. Death penalty. That they not only do the same. Who are they? But it's also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So there's those that are facilitators and promoters of this stuff. Whether they engage or not. Sigmund Freud. And all his so-called studies. They're all, people have proven them to be fake. Sigmund Freud. Another one of these clowns. He got a big name and promoted all this deviancy. And all of his studies were tainted with problems. He had a nephew who was the ultimate public relations man. He realized that these elite people need public relations and that we can control the thinking. Bernays, you can go study him. Get his quotes. This was the new wave of the future, public relations, and getting people to all think alike. Boy, have they done it. They've worked us over with TV and everything. It's mind control. That's why you have to have your armor on and you look at this. What are they trying to get across to me? Besides, you know, another crime story, you know, Law and Order, whatever, Blue Bloods, all the rest of them. What are they trying to get over? They're trying to sell agendas. Then undermine these principles. They want to make things look good that aren't good. people living together apart from marriage. It's everywhere. Everywhere. They don't see anything problem with it. They just do it. And Jesus condemned it in the woman at the well. She was living with a man after she had had a number of husbands. She just shacked up with this other guy in this little village. And everybody knew it, and everyone was on her case. And she's the one that went in and presented the gospel or introduced him that the Messiah is out there at the well. This woman lost her mind. And they went and checked it out. Good for them. You know, most people only check things out. They just form up an opinion, draw the lines, and that's the end of it. Check it out. They went and checked it out. Well, this is the Messiah. He said to her to go and sin no more. Either marry the guy or end it. We'll see her in heaven. This outcast woman from a little village, which you can imagine, all the other women. And she didn't even want to go out the well when all the women went out there with all their gossip and talking about things. She didn't want to go then. She went out in the heat of the day. She went out at high noon. All by her lonesome. And guess who she ran into? The Messiah. She would, from the very get-go, she was taken aback. Here is a Jewish male talking to a Samaritan female openly in this public place. Ooh. I don't find a Jew to even run from me. Because of two things. You know the story of the Good Samaritan? He's a Samaritan. And the Jews, the Samaritans had all their problems. But to treat other humans like that, it makes me ill. Because they didn't come from your background. They didn't have your personal experience. If they're positive, you need to embrace them, at least in your soul. And give them any kind of moral support you can. And not kick them when they're down. You mean, this isn't Christianity. Not the version I follow. I'm for those. I'm for the one person of the 99 sheep that's gone out off and he's lost. If I can help him. Or you could help him. If it's legitimate. He leaves the 99 to help the one. What's that story about? In the real life, I mean. He's willing to do that. There's a place and a time for everything. So gossip and slander are verbal sins. And we'll cover one point. Not even a whole point. An introduction to a point. And I could be criticized for that. But guess what? My skin is getting thicker and thicker the older I get. It really is. And sometimes it scares me. It's like, you don't even care? Well, at a certain level, no. No, I can't do nothing. Agonizing over people isn't going to get me anywhere. I present it to you. You walk out there in that cosmos and you do what you're going to do. Or you come back here Tuesday night, come hell or high water. Well, we'll cancel if it's hell or high water. But see you then. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, inform and enlighten our positive volition in Christ's name. Amen.